KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky, 32 degrees in the Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 38. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this morning, Hospice of Siouxland is laying off 28 workers due to funding changes in federal health care programs for the elderly and poor. The Sioux City Journal reports that Hospice announced the layoffs on Friday. Officials reported a nearly 30% decline in the number of patients they're able to serve because of changing regulations in Medicare and Medicaid services. Hospice Director Linda Todd said the action was a last resort and that the organization is extremely disappointed by the change. Affected employees will receive severance packages and assistance in securing new job opportunities in the area. The layoffs, which went into effect on Saturday, reduced the staff to about 120 workers. Hospice of Siouxland has satellite offices in Lamar's and in South Sioux City, Nebraska. News time is 8:01.
It's time to get more phone for your buck from your Verizon Authorized Wireless retailer.
Get amazing deals on the latest phones like the Razer M with its compact design that fits in the palm of your hand but still has a 4.3-inch screen size and features the new Jelly Bean software from Verizon Wireless for just $100 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Or the Intuition with its 5-inch display. It's part phone, part tablet. Only $150 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card.
Hurry in and get on Verizon, America's largest and most reliable high-speed wireless network today. Stop by and get the Razer M or Intuition, a TV store located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 712-243-3032.
New two-year activation, early termination fee, and other fees apply. See verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork for details.
A dental assistant fired because her boss thought she was too attractive and wants the Iowa Supreme Court to reconsider its decision rejecting her discrimination lawsuit. Melissa Nelson's attorney asked the all-male court on Friday to withdraw its December 21st ruling, which she called a significant blow to gender equality. The court ruled that Nelson's flirting by Fort Dodge dentist James Knight might have been unfair, but it wasn't illegal. The court ruled that firings of employees who are an irresistible attraction to bosses do not violate the Iowa Civil Rights Act because they're motivated by emotion and not gender. Nelson's filing, that is, says the court, erred because her gender played a role in her termination. Knight said he fired Nelson because he'd grown too close to her and worried that he'd try to start an affair with a woman. A lawsuit filed by a former director of the University of Iowa's study abroad program says she's a victim of discrimination and retaliation. The Gazette reports that Janice Perkins lost her job as an assistant dean of international programs in April, following what the university called a comprehensive reorganization of international programs. Her lawsuit said the reorganization was a mere pretext for firing Perkins. In the lawsuit, Perkins said she was harassed and discriminated against because of her health disabilities. Her lawsuit said Perkins was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder in 2000. The lawsuit says the condition required periods of leave for treatment and caused severe depression. University spokesman Tom Moore declined to discuss the matter. University of Iowa is also fighting criminal charges against two administrators filed by a fired professor in his native country of Jordan. University spokesman Tom Moore said the charges against Associate Medical School Dean Lois Geist and former Dean Paul Rothman are baseless and part of a harassment campaign fired radiology professor Malik Jawaid. Jawaid claims that Geist called him and said that she and Rothman could have him killed if he pursued a civil lawsuit. Moore says that Geist hadn't initiated contact with Jawaid since he left the U.S. in 2011. Geist and Rothman plan to skip a court hearing Sunday in Amman, Jordan, and Moore says that the university has retained a Jordanian lawyer and questions how two Americans who've never been to Jordan can be subject to its courts. Iowa officials are re-examining state personnel rules after a newspaper investigation revealed that 33 state employees who were fired returned to work for the state in the past 5 years. The Des Moines Register examined the records of 328 state employees fired for just cause in the past 5 years. An Iowa conservation officer is still working, even after being fired twice for alcohol-related offenses. One of the rehired employees had been fired for habitual tardiness, but she was later fired again. David Roeder is the head of the Iowa Department of Management. He says rehiring fired employees shouldn't be happening, but he says most of the cases is where an employee is rehired involves the state grievance and arbitration process where the employee appealed their firing. Administrators let offenders at one of Iowa's most dangerous prison units watch violent and sexually explicit movies and TV shows for years, despite repeated complaints from a female officer who said it encouraged inmates to sexually harass her. Murderers, sexual predators, and others at a unit for mentally ill inmates at the maximum security state prison in Fort Madison watched movies such as Deranged, a horror film that includes a scene in which a woman is beaten, raped, hung upside down, and flayed. Other sexually explicit and violent movies and shows were allowed despite Correctional Officer Christine Sink's complaints. When she turned them off and complained, records show her superiors accused her of insubordination. Sink filed a lawsuit November 30th against prison officials alleging sexual harassment, discrimination, and workplace retaliation. The state's Department of Transportation and Education released a report on school bus safety last Friday in the wake of changes to an Iowa law designed to beef up the penalties for illegally passing a stopped school bus. The Department of Education's State Director of School Transportation, Max Christensen, says the report has a lot of good information in it and some things that they did not know.
I think the biggest surprise to us was when we looked at the home side loading, unloading possible requirement. A lot of us thought that, well, that would probably, if anything, at most, maybe double the expenses, double the costs of doing that transportation. And when we actually put it into an honest-to-goodness routing situation, it actually quadrupled the cost.
The report recommended that school districts continue to only load and unload students on the same side of the street as their homes, but it did not make a required recommendation. Christensen said there are various factors that make it more costly to carry off.
Kids are only, by law, allowed to be on the school bus for up to 60 minutes, and when you're having to basically backtrack on almost every street or road to pick up kids on either side of the street or road, then that 60-minute factor comes into play, and when that happens, well, then we also have to add more buses, more routes, more drivers, and that's where the larger cost actually came into effect.
The report recommended districts look at cameras on stop signs and an additional stop sign at the back of the bus. Christensen said the most important thing he sees is the need to do more education of drivers on how to react around school buses.
Many of the items, I mean, such as the cameras on the school buses, I mean, it's happening after the fact. I mean, the vehicles have already passed that stopped school bus and put those kids in danger. And what we would really like to see is for it not to get to that point. I mean, we need to educate the other motorists so that they're aware of what they need to do when they see a stopped school bus so we don't get to that point to where we're actually putting those kids in danger.
The report suggests more emphasis on school bus safety and driver education classes. The new Caden's Law on bus safety was named after 7-year-old Caden Halverson of Kensett, who was struck and killed on May the 10th of 2011 as she attempted to get on a school bus. And a 24-year-old Iowa man has been given up to 2 to 5 years in probation and a suspended prison term for injuring his 4-month-old daughter. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports Brandon McCowan had pleaded guilty after prosecutors lowered the charge to child endangerment causing bodily injury. The girl was hospitalized on June 6, 2010, after she had trouble breathing. She was flown to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinic in Iowa City, where doctors concluded that she had head and eye injuries too numerous to count. McCowan told authorities that he was home alone with his daughter when she fell out of his arms and onto a bed. Court records say doctors told investigators the injuries appeared to have resulted from non-accidental trauma. McCowan's parental rights have since been terminated. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama is expected today to nominate former Republican Senator Chuck Hagel as the next defense secretary and is expected to tap counterterrorism advisor John Brennan to head the CIA. Hagel has faced tough criticism from congressional Republicans who say he's anti-Israel and soft on Iran. And Brennan withdrew from consideration for the spy agency's top job in 2008 amid questions about his connection to enhanced interrogation techniques during the George W. Bush administration. A preliminary hearing is set to begin today for the former graduate student accused of killing 12 people and wounding dozens in a July attack on a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. James Holmes is charged with more than 160 counts, including murder and attempted murder. An Eastern Alabama teen is scheduled to appear in court today on charges that he planned to use homemade explosives in a terror attack on his fellow high school students. 17-year-old Derek Shrout faces an attempted assault charge for allegedly planning an attack on Russell County High School in Seal, Alabama. The local sheriff said that a search of Shrout's home found ingredients to make small bombs. The Bank of America has reached a settlement with Fannie Mae. It stems from residential mortgage loans sold by the bank in its countrywide unit to the agency head ahead of the nation's 2008 financial crisis. The settlement includes a $3.6 billion payment to Fannie Mae. Bank of America will also buy back some of the loans that were sold to Fannie Mae. News time is 8:10.
Right now is the perfect time to stop in the TV store, your Dish authorized retailer, and get set up with the new Hopper system before the big game.
You mean the soup?
No, I mean the big game. With the Hopper system from Dish, you can pause live TV, go grab a super big bowl of nachos, and not miss 1 second of the bone-crushing action. Plus, with high definition and DVR in every room, you can watch and re-watch the game in amazing high definition no matter where you're at in the house.
But Jesse, my wife doesn't like football.
Well, with up to six TVs being able to watch different channels during primetime, she can enjoy her favorite show while you enjoy the game.
So let me get this straight. I can watch and record the game in high definition in my man cave, and my wife can be happy watching TV anywhere else she wants in the house?
Yes, sir.
Well, I would have to be as dumb as a replacement referee to not run out to the TV store, my Dish authorized retailer today.
The TV store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, 243-3032.
Primetime anytime, only available for playback of select HD primetime shows. Must be enabled by customer. Limited time offer. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Hopper available with qualifying programming packages. Call for details.
And in the funeral announcements this morning, Merle Brakefield, age 71 of Carson, died Thursday at the Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services with Masonic rites for Merle Brakefield will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Carson. Lus Hill's funeral home in Carson is in charge of the arrangements. Marietta Holste, age 91 of Bridgewater, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Marietta Holste will be held today at 10:30 at St. Peter's United Church of Christ, south of Messina. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Beulah Jensen, age 93 of Anita and formerly of the Atlantic and Elkhorn areas, died Friday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. Funeral services for Beulah Jensen will be held today at 1:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Jerome Jerry Blummel, age 89 of Manning, died Thursday at the Manning Hospital. A mass of Christian burial service for Jerry Blummel will be today at 2 o'clock at Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. John Steenhuisen, age 85 of Irwin, died Friday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for John Steenhuisen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Church of Christ in Irwin. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan is in charge of the arrangements. Gladys Christensen, age 85 of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Gladys Christensen will be held on Tuesday at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Daryl Stuva, age 87 of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Daryl Stuva will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at the Avondale United Methodist Church in rural Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Merle Elvin Fay, age 93 of Corning, died Saturday at the Lennox Care Center. Memorial services for Merle Fay will be held on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the United Congregational Methodist Church in Lewis. Ritchie Funeral Home in Corning has arrangements. Doris Burcham, age 98 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Private family services are planned for Doris Burcham. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. And James Donahue, age 86 of Omaha, died Thursday at the Nebraska Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Services for James Donahue are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.